Hey, this is Renee Baez with Rohi Christian Church. Just want to thank you for checking out our podcast. Hey, listen, Pastor Shana Hurd is in a brand new series titled Reignite My Enthusiasm. And I pray that through this message, God speaks a word to you that'll change your life forever. Amen. Let's get started.
For the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the rivers of enthusiasm. And we've described and talked about how enthusiasm is not some superficial excitement, but it is God working and flowing in a person's life to bring about praise and worship. And then last week we talked about reconciliation, which is where we turn the bitter things in our life into areas of sweetness, whether it be in our own life or in the lives of others. And so we're continuing with that. And I said to you, I made an error. I said that there were seven rivers that we were going to define. We defined three of them already. There's only six. So today I'm going to define three and then that'll be it, okay? Well, if we get to them. All right, whatever. Hey, don't we have some announcements? Did we miss the announcement? Because I know I have to. Okay, well, I have a few announcements. Number one, there's no Bible study this week because it is Thanksgiving. So no Bible study this week. But at 12 o'clock on Wednesday, we will still have our normal prayer call. So we'll have a prayer call from 12 to 12:30. If you need information on where that number is for the prayer call, you can just jump on to our Rohi Facebook page, and that number is on the Facebook page. And if you don't know where that is, then see me after church, and I'll make sure you get the number. Unfortunately, I don't know the number by heart because it ain't my personal phone number. You ever notice how you don't know nobody's phone number no more? I don't even know my, I was like, if I lost my phone and I had to call my kids, I would not know how to call them. I do not know their phone numbers. You know, it's like crazy. I know nobody's phone number by heart anymore. I don't know the church's number by heart. I don't know my number by heart. It's crazy. But I know Jesus. Okay, John 7:37-39. It's the medicine, y'all, this morning. It's the medicine. All right, let's read this together. I'll be reading out of the New King James Version. If you have a different version, no worries. The words will appear on your screen. But if you do me a favor, lift your Bibles, your electronic devices high in the air. Let's say our Bible affirmations together before we get started. You ready? This is my Bible. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. Amen. I'm going to have you read John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39. I'm going to have you read and I'll drop off and then come back in at the end. All right, let's read. On the last day, that great day of the feast, concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. Amen. Father, thank you for this message this morning. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would speak to us and that you would give us a word that you can, that we can use that will radiate throughout this state, throughout this city, throughout our communities, throughout our jobs, throughout our families, throughout our homes. Lord, I pray that this will be a life-giving word. A word that's transformative, a word that is fresh, living, and active in each of our lives. Holy Spirit, move me aside, come in, have your way, and help me to preach this word today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So as I said to you, we were talking about the rivers that were flowing. And today I'm going to just jump right in with this. And we're going to start talking about more rivers. But I want to remind you of one of the illustrations that we gave a couple weeks ago, because I think it's so powerful when it comes to talking about the rivers that are flowing. It's interesting because Jesus was standing up at the feast. And this particular feast, he's standing there, and it's a celebration of the fact that God provided water for the children of Israel when they were in the desert for those 40 years. And so what they would do is they would stand at the top of the tabernacle, and they would pour water, and it would run down the tabernacle and all the way down the stairs. And Jesus stood up, and he began to make this proclamation about rivers of living water shall begin to flow out of you. So then we started looking at the rivers of peace, and, or the rivers of praise, the rivers of worship, and the rivers of reconciliation. And as we talked about the rivers of reconciliation, one of the things that we talked about was how water works in the earth. We talked about, you know, y'all ever seen, you know, the sixth grade science experiment we talked about where you had to build the model of the mountain and the water running down. So the people who got kids in middle school are like, yeah, the rest of y'all are like, I don't know what you're talking about. It's where you had to build those models where you have a mountain, and it showed how the water would break up the rock, and when the water would break up the rock, it would turn into sediment, and the sediment would run, but it would be a constant water flowing over rock would break the rock up. And what we talked about is that that river has to be constant to break the water up. That if you just take drops of water and pour it on there, it won't break anything up. So we've been talking about what are the hard areas in your life that need a constant flow of prayer, that need a constant flow of praise, that need a constant flow of the Holy Spirit to begin to break up hard areas in your life. I want you to remember that illustration, because today, I am by no means, look, I like science, but I don't like earth science. Like where you talk about like the, she like, yeah. I mean, I like building things and fixing things, but I do not like the concept of talking about the earth and how it's made. But God created the earth, and I believe he did it to teach us principles about who he is and about how he operates. So today we're going to be talking a little bit about how God kind of created certain areas, especially in Israel, and how that impacts the rivers that we're talking about. Now I'm going to ask you to stay with me, because today I'm taking a circular view. You know what that means? That means I'm not gonna start with the point. Y'all like, what? I'm gonna tell it to you, and I'm gonna go all the way around the mulberry bush, but then by the end you're gonna be like, oh, that made so much sense. Okay, so stay with me. All right, now in the Bible, in particular the New Testament, it talks about three bodies of water. Now, these three bodies of waters are connected by the River Jordan. Those three bodies of water from the south are the Dead Sea. And what's interesting is the Dead Sea flows up to the north, which is kind of strange, but it does do that. And it flows into the Sea of Galilee. So you have the Dead Sea, you have the Sea of Galilee. Now, the Sea of Galilee is about the size of Lake Tahoe. So it's not like when we talk about a sea, it's like it's pretty good size, right? And then north of that is a little tiny body of water called the Waters of Merom. And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit, the Waters of Merom today. Now, currently, that body of water doesn't really exist in the form that it existed in Jesus' day. The Waters of Merom, it was like a small lake, and over the past 2,000 years, those waters have turned into a swamp. Reeds have grown up and fallen over the water, and so it's kind of gotten that swampy look. Y'all know what it is. Anybody ever been down to Florida and you see the swamps? See, y'all looking at the swamps, I'm looking for gators, right? So you think about them, they're like, it's muddy, kind of murky water. It's still water flowing underneath. On top, it looks like it might be land, but you can't walk through it because there's water on the bottom, right? So water has grown up over time. But in about the 1800s, a small group of people started to settle there, noticed the land, and what they started to do was they started to dredge out pieces of the reeds to create small fishing ponds because they realized that there was fresh water that was flowing underneath there. But they didn't do the whole thing. They just did certain sections. Then they started living there, and what happened is because the water was flowing underneath the ground, it ended up being an extremely fertile area. So much so that now today, that area produces most of the fruit and the vegetables that are found throughout Europe. It's a highly, highly fertile area. Now, what's interesting is it's highly fertile, but it's in an area that looked like swampland. Okay, some of y'all are, so let me fast forward, because if I take all day to get to this circle, y'all, I'm going to lose you. Let me fast forward. There are areas in our life that look dead and look done to everybody else. But if there is a river flowing underneath, come on, somebody. God can use it, and it will produce fertile crop that will feed people all over the land, that God can use to touch people all around you. Come on, somebody who felt like life was a swampland for you, like it was dead, it wasn't working, things aren't going on, you ought to get excited about a message like this, because if the rivers of God flow, if the rivers of God are connected underneath, let me tell you something, you will begin to produce fertile things. You will begin to see things that God is calling in this earth. You'll begin to see healings and deliverances and breakthrough. You'll begin to see change and transformation, not just in your life, but in the life of people around you. So you have to understand that the swampy land represents people like us. Now watch this. Jesus, go back to John 7:37 on the screen for me for a second. Jesus stands up and he says, on the last great day, the great of that feast, he cried out saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Now watch this. Go to the next verse. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said. Somebody say, as the scripture has said. So Jesus is standing up in the temple and he's preaching a sermon and he's referencing a scripture. You ought to be saying, well, what scripture? Right? Because he says, this that I'm about to talk to you about, out of his heart will flow the rivers of living water. What I'm about to talk to you about is referenced somewhere else. And let me show you where it's referenced. It's referenced in Isaiah 35. Go to Isaiah 35. Watch this. Isaiah 35 verse 1 says, this is the scripture Jesus was talking about when he says, as the scripture says. It says, the wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them. And the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. What are you talking about? The wilderness and the wasteland is the swamp land. The land that looked like nothing is going to be produced. You ought to be glad from that land. I was saying, God, I'm confused. Why are you saying I ought to be happy that the land that looks dry and desert, that looks like it's awful, we ought to get excited about that? He said, and the desert shall rejoice. First of all, when you're going through hell and it looks like ain't nothing happening in your life, how many times do you really want to rejoice? God is saying when it looks its worst, you ought to start getting excited. When it looks like everybody else has left it, because that's what desert looks like. When it looks like it can produce no more. When y'all don't understand me. Y'all don't understand me. Y'all don't understand me. You don't know what it's like when you look like at your bank account and it look like I can't produce no more. You don't know what it's like when you look at your marriage and you say, we can do no more. I'm done. You don't know what it's like when the doctors come in and say, I'm done. But see, that's about you. I'm about to prove to you that these rivers are not just about taking care of you and bringing up a well in you, because you already got water flowing in you. I'm going to prove to you that this is about looking at every other situation that's dead around you and said, oh, that ain't the end. That's not the end of that. The desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. And if you keep scrolling down there to verse 5, Jesus is talking about, and he says this about this waste land. He said, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. Look, Jesus is saying, this is the scripture I'm talking about. Out of him shall flow rivers of living water, and this is what it's going to look like. Eyes of the blind are going to be open. The ears of the deaf shall be y'all got to get excited about it. Let me help you with this. What Jesus is saying is if we can get the rivers flowing the way they're supposed to, healing is going to start happening like crazy around you. I know they said it's not supposed to happen. I know people have been telling you 2,000 years ago miracles don't happen. I know they said they don't happen in places like this. I know they say it can't happen. We can't do that. You need to stop, and you ought to start getting excited when they say it can't happen and we can't do, because that is the definition of wilderness and wasteland and swampland. And you ought to say, but that's all right, because there's a river flowing inside of me that will bring life, that's going to bring healing, and that'll bring open the eyes of the blind and help people see. And some of y'all are sitting there like, I don't know. I don't think I can ever touch somebody's blind eyes to help them see. Just hang on, I'm gonna help you with that. Let me give you, he is talking physical, by the way, but let me give you a spiritual one. You ever had somebody who had no hope, didn't know what's gonna happen in their life, didn't have a vision, had given up, and then come on, God shows up through you and gives you a word? Oh, Jesus. And then all of a sudden, blind eyes get open. And they're like, wait a second, I can do that. Wait a second, God cares. Look, that's the river flowing through you. And we keep talking about me, 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 me. And God is like, look, this is so much bigger than you. Because if I can get this beyond you, that look, watch this, I can start opening some blind eyes. People who have not heard my voice will begin to hear my voice. People who don't know me, come on somebody, will begin to know me. But you got to get out of you and let the river start flowing in you and through you. And I'm not just talking about spiritual. Let me tell you something. God want to heal blind people today too, through us. No, Pastor, that ain't for me. Let me just keep going, because y'all don't believe that. Y'all like those too? Let me hit to Jesus wasn't done. Verse 6, he's referencing the scripture. He says, then the lame shall leap like a deer. Folks who can't walk ought to be running. and the tongue of the dumb will sing. Folks who ain't said a word will start singing unto God. Now, I want you to catch the next line. What did Jesus say? Out of their belly or their heart shall come flowing, gushing rivers of water. He says, for water shall burst forth in the wilderness. Waters, wilderness is dry and arid. It's not supposed to produce that. But he says waters are supposed to burst forth out of those dry and arid places. And streams are supposed to start coming up in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of jackals where each lay, there shall be grass with, watch this, reeds and rushes. What did I tell you? Swampland has reeds. Watch this. Jesus is saying that when the Holy Spirit falls and comes after I leave, the fulfillment of this prophecy shall happen. Blind eyes open, deaf ears open, people running and jumping and leaping who couldn't walk, people could sing. Now see, I get excited when I think about the people who are no longer going to be bound. Because of a river God's trying to release through us. Think about that. That's powerful. And then if you jump down to verse 10 of that passage, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return. That means the people that walked away, the people who the enemy stole shall come back to him, and they'll come back singing with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. So in the beginning of this chapter, in the middle of this chapter, and at the end of this chapter is a prophecy that points to one day when God will begin to flow and work through his people to bring this kind of healing, deliverance, and transformation in the earth. It's a prophecy that refers to us today. Most people think that had to do with the first century church. It's over. No, that's us. I don't see anywhere in scripture that says it's over after 1,000 years or 2,000 years. So Jesus stands up and he says, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly, out of his heart will come flowing these types of living waters. So we've talked about these rivers, because it says rivers. We've talked about them being plural. We talked about the spirit of praise. We talked about the spirit of worship. We talked about the spirit of reconciliation. Let's move into the fourth river that I want to talk to you about, and that's the river of development. Somebody say development. Now, these next three rivers, the first three were about you. The next three are about what God's doing through you. So I want you to catch this next one, because this next one is super important if you're going to understand it. And I have to go back to the whole farming community, because I can't really explain it very well. But if you were talking about the rivers of development, one good way to see this is this. Anybody know where the San Joaquin Valley is here in California? Yep, you know where some of y'all came from there. All right, San Joaquin Valley. Very, very fertile area. That area is producing vegetables and fruit for people all over the world, right? Now, I want you to think about something for a second. How is that area able to produce vegetables and fruits for people all over the world, especially during the last 5 or 6 years when there have been massive amounts of drought happening? Watch. What'd you say? Come on. Here's what happened. If you look, if the farmers just keep waiting for rain, we're going to have a problem, right? Because it ain't enough rain in California no more to just take care of the earth. What happened back in the 1800s is they began to dig canals, dig irrigation systems, dig rivers that would keep water flowing, come on somebody, to those areas, to the ground, so that fruit could continue to be produced. They developed tunnels and canals and streams. They developed irrigation systems to keep the water flowing. They said, we are not going to wait for a massive rain to come only once and then expect that we're going to see any produce, harvest, or results. What does that mean, Pastor? What I'm saying to you is we as a people of God keep waiting for sudden burst of rain for the Holy Spirit to fall on us so we get excited and we feel God. And now I can lay hands on people and now people will get healed through me and now I'm ready to talk. Instead of realizing that our job is to develop, come on somebody, irrigation systems, canals, rivers, where we are constantly connected to the stream of God so that we don't have have to wait for a big event to be able to see a move of God, but that we have God flowing in us all the time, so that events and fruit are constantly being produced in us over and over and over and over again. We don't have to wait for a big old church service, come on somebody, for God to do a move, because if we have developed an opportunity for God to keep speaking to us and for God to keep working in us and God to keep moving in us, we'll begin to see fruit constantly flowing. Not just fruit coming up in a moment of time, but fruit coming up consistently in our lives. What do you mean? Stop waiting for a big event to happen with you and God. And start developing an opportunity for the rivers to keep flowing. Pastor, how do I do that development? Well, we provide many opportunities for you to keep growing in your relationship with God so that the rivers of the Holy Spirit keep flowing. What are you talking about? Bible study every Wednesday night is an opportunity for you to keep the river of God flowing in you. Operation Solid Lives. We have one coming up in January, February, right? That's a discipleship program designed to help you keep the rivers flowing through you. Well, you know, I don't like that. Prayer. The prayer calls we have on Wednesday. You know how you're going to grow in prayer? Pray. You can't grow in prayer if you don't pray. Just watch this. And we're trying to make it as easy as possible for you to get it. Being at church on Sundays, being connected here. Do you not know that when we are preaching the word, we are dredging and developing connections for you to stay connected to God so the river can flow in you? Your own personal devotion life. Reading your Bible every day is a river of development. You are digging, you are working tunnel underneath, underground. Have you ever noticed when you come out of your prayer closet or you come out of your devotion life, you mind your own business, somebody say something to you, and the Lord will bring up something you had in your devotion that day, and it's a word that's just for that person. You know why? Because you did a development in the morning. Come on, somebody. It allowed the Holy Spirit to let his waters flow through it, and at just the right moment, he popped it right up out of you. But see, if we're not consistently working and developing that relationship with God, if we're not constantly growing, and look, I'm talking about this, constantly putting ourselves in position where we're growing further and deeper in the things of God. We have small groups. We need to keep growing. Let me tell you another way you can grow. You can grow by volunteering in the church. What are you talking about? If you volunteer, volunteering is not just about helping somebody else. God does something in you when you volunteer. God changes you. God puts something in your heart. God shows you something. And watch this. It is an opportunity for rivers to flow through you as you serve. I got one amen. And she volunteered. I'm not fussing about people volunteering. That's why I say, I believe today is the day. If you want to do something but you don't know what, stay after service. We're going to talk about it. There are so many ways to get involved. So many things that we need to do in order to let rivers just flow through us to minister to other people and bless them. Another thing, we've got Christmas for San Jose coming up. When is that? December 15th. Christmas for San Jose is our church's community Christmas party. So basically, we throw a Christmas party for the people in the community. And we give away free toys. We got approved this year for 300 toys from Toys for Tots. So we're going to be doing that. We're doing a food drive for the people that are coming for Christmas for San Jose, but to be able to bless other people. We're going to be having cookies and I saw Anne Maria's face, didn't I? No, we had cookies and we're having story time. You know what the best part of last year, Christmas for San Jose, was? The story time. The kids sat there and listened to stories about Jesus. They just sat, kids from the community who don't know Jesus, they ain't never heard, just sat there and listened to stories about Jesus. They loved it. And this year we're going to be trying to get some other people to come in and do some entertainment for us, giving out toys, preaching the gospel, giving away bikes, all those same things. God is a good God. We get an opportunity that'll be a river flowing. But that's, look, serving in that moment is about the development as well as the river. It's about God doing something in my heart. Ain't nothing like giving out a toy to a kid at Christmas. Come on, somebody. Y'all don't like, okay, some of y'all didn't want to do that. I loved it. I enjoyed it. Then I'd be like, boy, I know I've seen you in this line already. So God wants us to become fruitful for our own purpose, but also for the sake of others. So the fourth river that we're talking about, which or the first one today, is the river of development. The fifth river, or the second one for the day, is the river of healing. The river of healing. Now I'm going to tell you between the next two, there are two stories in 2 Kings, and they're in chapters right next to each other. And these stories talk about the River Jordan and something happening at the River Jordan. And I believe that there is some revelation as we talk about those. So we're going to look just briefly. I'm going to tell you the stories because they're so long. I don't want to spend the time, but you can go back and read them. But the first is the story of Naaman. He's the leper. And the second is the story of a school of prophets under Elijah's leadership. Now, both of these stories take place in the Jordan River, but at different locations of the Jordan River. Now, Naaman is a powerful story of God answering human need when we humble ourselves before the Lord. Naaman was this high-ranking military official from Syria, and he had every kind of resource, every kind of instrumentation and finances, military equipment at his control, but there was no answer for his incurable disease of leprosy. How many of y'all have seen people who got everything, but there's something on the inside that just is killing them and destroying them? Watch this. Having money ain't everything, isn't it? Why? So he had all this money, all this wealth, all this power, but he had leprosy. Now, leprosy was a powerful and awful disease at the time because it started to disfigure the human body. It begins to eat on the extremities. Your ears will begin to disappear and rot away, and the nose begins to cave into the face, and fingers and toes begin to rot away. It's almost like you're starting to see zombies, you know, like the little, they just eaten away at the, every extremity is being eaten. And Naaman was confronted by this little maidservant that he had in his home who dwelled there with him in Syria. She was an Israelite. She was a Hebrew. And she said, look, I know a prophet of God, and he's down in Israel. Now, you need to know Israel and Syria didn't like each other back then, much like today. They didn't like each other, right? And he said, there's a prophet of God, and the God of Israel, he is a God who can heal you. If you can just get to the prophet, Naaman, and go talk to him, I know he'll bring healing. So Naaman does this. Naaman hears this, gets all excited, loads a caravan of stuff, puts all this gold and silver and money and everything. He said, I'm going to go down to the prophet and I'm going to get healed. Now, he took a couple left turns and didn't go direct to the prophet, but that's not the point. And he comes to the house of the prophet Elisha and he tells him his needs. He says, and he's standing out. He's mad because Elisha won't come out the house. You ever travel a long way to see somebody and then they got nerve enough to not want to see you? This is about to be a bad story, so should I? You know, when I go back home, my family's from Alabama, but what always gets me is I travel from California to Alabama. And I'm like, I'm at my grandmother's house. You got to drive 15 minutes to come see me. But you know what people say? I can't believe you ain't come see me. You ever notice they do that? I'm like, I came 3,000 miles. You couldn't drive 15 minutes to come see nobody. And that's kind of how Naaman was. He was like, look, I've been traveling all the way from Israel to Syria. You in your house. I'm literally outside of your house. And you won't come out your house to see me? Are you kidding me? So he's got this little attitude. And Elisha said, look here. I ain't got to go talk to you. I ain't got to see you. Just go dip in the River Jordan 7 times. And the man is like, hold up, what? I drove all this way to come see you and you gonna tell me to go dip in a river for 7 times? You won't even come out here and see me? He was like, psh, bust that. I'm out of here. Forget this man. And he's looking like a zombie, flesh just falling apart. Forget all this, keep doing me. Isn't it funny how pride will keep you from getting what God has called you to have? So he's all arrogant. And his servant was like, look. You brought all this stuff you was going to give to him. If he'd have asked you for all of that, you'd have gave it to him. This don't even cost you anything. Why don't you just go jump in the river a couple times and see what happened? He said, I got rivers better than this at home. You're going to have me jump in the muddy river of the Jordan. That's nasty. What you got to lose, the servant says. So he goes, he jumps in the water 7 times. And when he comes out 7 times, the Bible says his skin, it's just like that of a newborn baby's. He's healed. He got in a river, and he got healed. He got in a river, and healing got manifested. The rivers of God are trying to flow through you. And we keep trying to figure out how to get people healed. You just stay connected to God. Elisha just said something. Now, I want you to watch this. Mark chapter 16 tells us this. These signs will follow those who believe. So before I go any further, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, just lift your hand. Okay. Now, look around and say, there's a sign that's supposed to follow you. Everybody just got to say, there's a sign that's supposed to follow you. There's a sign that's supposed to follow you. Now, you want to know what that sign is that's supposed to follow you? Okay, put your hands down. These signs, it doesn't say they might, these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, being Jesus, they will cast out demons. So do you not know demons are supposed to be fleeing all around you when you show up because that's a sign that you believe? They will speak with new tongues. Do you not know you should be praying in the spirit and lifting up a new language before the Lord? And y'all not hearing me? Nobody like that. I don't want to. They will take up serpents. That means you will handle demonic things and enemies and people. You got some demonic things happening in your job. You got to handle it. And if they drink anything deadly, that means if anything comes to attack you, look, ain't no big deal. It will by no means hurt you. Watch this. This sign is supposed to follow you. You will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. These are things that are supposed to be coming out of our lives as believers. This is what it means. So if that river is flowing out of us and you come in contact with somebody that's hurt, all you got to say is, Lord, what you want to do? Okay, jump in the river. Let's go. Whatever God said, do. Whatever God's telling you in that moment, you speak it and you trust the word. Here's two things I want you to know about this truth with Elisha. The first is that Elisha simply spoke the word of God to Naaman. He just said what God told him to do. Go dip in the river seven times. He had nothing else. The man kept trying to pay him. He said, I don't want your money. Don't give me your money. I don't need your money. Just do what God said. I'm not even coming out to talk to you. Just go do what God said. And the second thing you need to know is Elisha did not need to see the miracle to believe that God would fulfill the word. He spoke a word and never left his house. And he trusted that God was the God who said he would heal all of their diseases in Exodus 15, 26. He trusted the word and he sent the word of God out before him because he knew the character of God is that God is a God who heals. How did he know that? Because he had lived in the rivers of development where he was able to get to know the God and the word so that he would know that God would do exactly what the word said it would do. So Elisha sat in his house and relaxed and said, go dip, and he knew the man would be healed. Some of us have got to stop thinking that we got to do more than just speak what God says and trust that something else is going to happen. If you're flowing in a river of if the rivers of healing is flowing through you, all you got to do is say what God's telling you to say and trust the Lord for the rest. Well, I got to get there and lay my hands on them. You know what? God uses us when we lay our hands, but God also uses us when we just speak a word and send a word. Elisha never touched that man. He just sent a word. Amen. If I had time, boy, I'd develop that touching thing. Since I got 2 seconds, I'm going to tell you about it. Develop it later. We in the body of Christ have got so caught up on I got to lay my hands on. And it's got to be the right person to lay their hands on me. You just need a person with the river flowing through them. And they ain't even got to touch you. What are you talking about? Well, Elisha, you know, Jesus laid hands. He said they'll lay the hands on the sick. Yeah, that's a part of it. But watch this. Watch this. Jesus only laid hands when he was doing more than just healing the physical. Yeah, y'all understand what I'm talking about? Understand? The centurion came to him and said, you know, hey, my servant's at home sick. If you just send a word, you don't have to show up. You ain't got to come here. Just send a word. Jesus sent a word. A man got healed. Period. So do we need anything more than a word to bring healing? Not necessarily. But then there are moments when Jesus took the blind eye and he spit on mud and put it on their eyes. And he brought healing. And you're going, well, you didn't have to spit on them, Jesus. But God was doing a work and restoring them emotionally and restoring their soul because they had been cast out and cast aside the whole time. You looked at the woman with the issue of blood. Why did she have to touch him? Because she wasn't touched by society all that time. So he was saying, I'm restoring you by allowing you to touch me. So he was restoring every piece of their life, not just their physical part. So watch this. Sometimes a touch is necessary, and sometimes it's just a word. You don't have to figure out if you need the touch or if you need the word. You just got to stay in the river, and when the Holy Spirit say, do this, then you do, and that's it, and you just shut up. And you go back, and you say, you're going to be all right. You're going to be healed. Well, I don't see nothing happen, because we want miracles right now in front of our face, and sometimes God will operate that. But sometimes God will say, just let me see if you got the faith to say I'm going to do it anyway. Go on, go back in your house, just like Elisha, and shut the door and be shut up. I ain't got to see you. See you later. I know you're healed. Well, I never heard a report back. Do you believe my word or the report? See, some of us, and then we start down, oh, I don't see nothing happening, God. I hope I'm helping. The ministry of healing is needed in every generation. There is a great sea of human pain and suffering all around us, and we are a small stream of people. Just a little small stream of people in this very great vast sea, almost ocean of folks who need healing, who need deliverance. And let me tell you something. We are the ones who have been trained through the word of God. We are the ones who know what God's authority says. We are the ones who have been trained to recognize the healing power of God. We are the ones like Elisha who know how to hear God's voice and speak to someone the word of God. We are the ones who understand the covenant of God and his healing. And it is our job to take our little bitty stream and put it in the ocean and bring healing to all the people that are around us. That is what God is calling us to do. And you sit there and you say, but I'm so small. But let me tell you something. But they don't know any of that. You've been trained by God to bring healing to folks. Don't let the enemy trick you to say, no, I can't do that. What you think you've been, some of y'all been in church all your life. What you think you've been getting all that word for? If you've been in this church 3 to 5 years, this ain't a new teaching for you. You've heard about healing. You've heard about the Holy Spirit flowing in you. Let me tell you something. Tell you something. We didn't get that to be 5 years later not having no rivers flowing. 18 years of doing ministry to have no rivers. If you don't have rivers flowing, you start going back to step 4, rivers of development. Let's just develop. Let's dredge. Let's spend some time. Let's seek you. Let's go. Let's trust. Let's move. Because it's time. All right, here's the last one. Oh, Jesus. Number 6, the river of recovery. So the last river scene is where the men of the school of prophets had gone down, this is it also in 2 Kings, they had gone down to cut a tree because it was a school of prophets. Elisha was raising them up, and they had to build a place for themselves to live. And so as they were going to build a place that they would live, they were chopping trees, and as one man was chopping a tree, you know, the axe heads will slide on and off the little handles. Well, he was chopping, and he wasn't paying a lot of attention to how tight the axe head was because, you know, he should have checked his equipment. But he chopped it, and as he was swinging his axe, The axe head fell off into the river and sunk to the bottom. And he says, oh, Lord Jesus, Elisha, you got to help me. Because that axe head, it wasn't mine. It was borrowed. And I got to get it back to somebody. So Elisha says, well, show me the place where the axe head fell in the river. And he says, oh, it's right over there. And Elisha goes over, he says, and I take the stick that the axe head came from, throw it in the water. And that sounds crazy. You know, took the axe off, but now you want me to throw the stick with the axe in the water? Now, mind you, the axe head's at the bottom of the water. The stick's at the top. The stick should drop. Not the stick should drop. The stick should start floating with the stream of the water, right? Because it's a stream. But the stick don't move. And then what happens is the axe head floats back up to the top. Come on, somebody. As if almost to magically say, like Thor, you know how Thor is? And it just comes back to you, right? Like the axe head just came back together. And the guy went out in the street and got his axe up and started chopping like ain't nothing happened. I was like, hold up. Y'all got miracles just so happening that y'all just drop stuff in the water and Elijah bring it back to life? Oh, I dropped my 100 in the water. Oh, the 100 going to float back up to the top. Go get your $100. Like, really, what's happening? This is like money, right? So I'm sitting there going like, God, why did you put this? It's a miracle. It seems so little. Like, why did you put this in the water? I am so confused. But let me tell you something. God never just puts things in scripture just to say, aha, that was a cute story. He always has a purpose behind them. Watch this. So what's the point? You may be like the young man who's serving the Lord, sincerely committed to the Lord's work. That young man was not negligent. That young man loved the Lord. He wasn't insincere. He was doing the best he knew how to do. But as he was working, there had come something of a loss of the cutting edge of how he did ministry, of what made him capable of getting things done. You know how you felt really sharp, like you were moving in the things of God, and you've been serving God for a long time, and somehow or another, somewhere along the line, the sharpness just left you. You don't feel the passion. You don't feel the move. It's not like you don't love God. It's not like you don't care. It's not like you don't think God's ministry is important. As a matter of fact, you're still serving, but you just, it's almost as if what would have happened if the axe head had flew off and it was just the stick and he just kept beating the tree. I think some of us keep doing that. We just keep beating the tree and we've lost our sharpness. We've lost the cutting. We've lost the ability to make an impact the way that we know that we have been able to do. There are folks who've been a part of this congregation for years, 10 years, 18 years, as long as we've been alive and been here. And there comes a point where the effective work of God through you is not like it has been at other times. And it's not as though you've walked away. You're not walked away from God. You love God. What's happened? This happens all over the body of Christ, people, where we say, I've done my part. Maybe this is the confirmation that I'm not supposed to be doing anything anymore because it's dull. I'm not seeing an effect. So we take the fact that we're not seeing an effect or we're not feeling as sharp, and we say, well, I guess, God, it's over. Instead of saying, God, recover my sharpness. Wherever I lost it, go get it for me and bring it back. Because God, me beating this with the stick, me beating people over their head with a stick, come on, y'all do it. We do it with our words. It ain't working. I need to get to that place where Holy Spirit, you flow and just things starts getting moved and sliced and healing and deliverance and words. People are starting to see you again and people are starting to get healed. I need that restore. Lord, help me get to a place where I can take, come on somebody, and I can just keep serving you and the sharpness returns again. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? May we begin to say, Lord, help me see where are the conduits. Where are the people that I need to begin to let the river flow over and bring shape? Where are the reservoirs that I need to begin to fashion? Where are the canals that I need to be cut so that I don't become a swampy wilderness desert land, but that I stay sharp in ministry and I stay sharp to bring about a recovery, not just for myself, but other people around me? Lord, let my hands be animated again because I don't have to see it. I don't have to be a professional. I don't have to be recognized for it. Just speak your word and minister to the situation and let me watch what you can do through those who make themselves available to you. Healing comes from the rivers of living water. I want you to say this. Say, Lord, anything that I've lost, I ask for its recovery. I want there to be a sharpness to my spirit again. Thank you, Jesus. Come on and stand to your feet. Thank you, Lord. There's a river that flows from God above, a song says. There's a fountain that's filled with his great love. Come to this water, there is a vast supply. There's a river that shall never run dry. I want to invite you with me to lift your hands before the Lord. If you feel like this message, any of these messages about the rivers have really hit you, and we've been talking about, Lord, revive my enthusiasm. I want my enthusiasm not just to be emotional, but I want it to be where praise is just flowing through me. Prayer is flowing through me. Reconciliation is flowing through me. rivers of development where I'm constantly dredging places to grow in the Lord are happening in me, where rivers of healing are happening and rivers of recovery are happening, where we're recovering things that the enemy says we shouldn't be taking back, we are, and where our sharpness for him is constantly on point. I want those rivers flowing. How many of you are saying, yes, God, let those rivers flow in me? Lord, let those rivers flow in me. I want you to pray this prayer after me. Lord, I don't want to be that person who's just filled with the Spirit by testimony. I want to be the person who's Spirit-filled by action, constant action. Let me explain what that means. I don't want to be one who just said, I remember when I got filled with the Spirit. I want to be one that's constantly filled and flowing with the rivers coming through me, where actions show every day that I'm Spirit-filled. Father, fill us with your Spirit again. I release the baptism of the Holy Spirit all over again in this house. May a fresh flowing of your Spirit fall. I declare, Father God, that rivers are being restored, that in areas, Lord, where the dams have come, that your rivers will gush over them, Father God. I pray that for those who've experienced hurt, part of the reason why our ex-heads have fallen off is because we've been hurt. Father, in the name of Jesus, may the rivers flow and bring healing in us. And then, God, I pray that as they flow, we would bring healing to others. Let me tell you something. This week, here's what I sense. I sense opportunities are going to come, and people are going to come to you, where you will have the opportunity to release rivers of healing and rivers of deliverance and rivers of reconciliation. All I ask you to do is just stay open. Don't be a dam. Let the rivers flow. Somebody say, let the rivers flow. All right. If you're here today and you need prayer, our prayer team, come on up. They'll be here to pray with you. Let me dismiss you. Was this helpful for you? Come on, if you received that word, just begin to praise the Lord.
Just want to thank you again for checking out our podcast. If you would like to learn more information about Rohe Christian Church, you can find us online at www.rohechurch.org. And also like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram at Rohe Church. We hope you enjoyed the message and we'll see you again next time. Be blessed.